blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue thinking about you.
Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't mean a thing, dear, if you're not here with me.
I'll have a blue Christmas, that's certain. And when those blue heartaches start hurting,
you'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white. But I'll have a blue, blue Christmas.
All these songs take on new meaning here. In this hellhole that is Seattle, looking outside, there's snow everywhere.
Yeah, it's
everywhere.
And it has not snowed for several days.
No!
This snow has been around since,
well,
like...
Well, it snowed last night.
Okay, it snowed a little bit last night. It snowed like
5 inches.
You got 5 inches?
Just a little bit.
I got like 2 inches last night.
It snowed 5 inches last night, everybody.
But the 12 inches that is on the ground, most of it has been there for almost a week now.
And there's more to come tomorrow night, apparently.
Woo!
The last time there was a foot of snow on the ground during Christmas in Washington was in 1861, everybody.
What?
I swear to God. I swear to God.
Did Granny tell you that?
The Civil War.
Oh.
The Civil War. What are you saying? Granny's old?
I'm just saying.
I should call her right now. What she would say if she heard you say such a thing. She just got her teeth out today, for Christ's sake.
I suspect she would cackle.
She's very angry right now and very bitter about this pain in her mouth. And here you are calling her so old she was around in the Civil War. Shame on you.
I'm sorry, Granny.
Jesus, especially during Christmas. What a cock. But as I was saying before this asshole jumped in insulting my grandmother, it is snowy, it sucks, life is no buys, and we still have not even done the Christmas show yet.
No.
But boy, will there be drinking.
That's been decided.
Where we'll be drinking.
I've actually bought my liquor already.
Well, good.
It's been bought for a while.
Now, there's a problem. I was going to discuss this on the Christmas show tomorrow, but I might as well discuss it now so that everybody can be aware of what we are going to be having to battle with here. Normally, every year during the Christmas show, we get drunk off our ass, do a show, and then when it's over, somebody throws us into a car, much like it's the ambulance or the ice wagon, and they take us to get food. Mm-hmm. I remember last year, I was so drunk that I was driven to Burger King, and I don't even remember any of it. I remember going to Burger King. I remember going to Burger King, and I remember being in the parking lot. I remember what Burger King it was. It was the one in Everett, because there are very few left. And I remember, like, I was reclined in the car. I think I may have been, like, upside down, and my feet were up over the back seat, and my head was down behind the front seat, and I was eating a number of Whoppers. I want that again this year.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, I don't know who's going
to
drive us.
I don't know who's going to come through this crap to come pick our drunk asses up to go get food.
I have no idea who could possibly be here to save the day. In fact, our buddy Craig called on, I believe it was Sunday or Saturday, and he wanted to know what day the Christmas show was because he was going to drive out here for it. And I called him today to tell him when and where the Christmas show was going to take place. And of course he responded, I ain't coming.
Okay. To be fair, Craig may have said this exact same thing in April or June.
But the point was, it's not like it's significantly worse today than it was then.
No.
And then he also added, the best line was, he said, well, maybe if you'd given me more notice.
Oh, God. See,
and
that,
then there was hold on. Then there was a pause, and he said, that actually would have made no difference. So at least he was honest about it in the end.
For once.
So anyway, the Christmas show's coming up, everybody. Although, if it continues to snow, don't everybody get your hopes up about this Christmas show, because this could end up being the New Year's show.
Or perhaps the President's Day show.
It's certainly not looking good. But today we're going to quickly run down Raw, SmackDown, and Tribute to the Troops, and then get the hell out of here. I don't want to rush through the show or anything like that, but we're going to. The roads are getting icier with each passing moment. In fact, it appears someone might be stuck right there,
really?
Where you've got to leave.
Hang on.
Oh, no, they're moving. Okay. They're moving now. There was a pause and then some slow moving, but they appear to be going. So anyway, plus we got a bunch of other stuff that needs to be handled in advance because Christmas Eve and Christmas are coming, and Hate to alert everybody, but I may not be around all day during those 2 days, so we're going to have to do some changes here in the schedule. But anyway, let's play a quick song, and then we'll get the show on the road. Watch this. Yeah.
Dancing to Beat the Devil.
God.
She was dancing,
and I failed.
She was dancing,
and I failed.
Failed. She was dancing to
Bail
the Devil. Failed.
She was dancing a lot.
Cockerly walks, cockerly walks, cockerly walks.
Cockerly? Cockerly?
Someone's got to turn that into a song. Fail.
Cockerly, where did that even come from?
I don't even remember.
I don't even know where half of these drops came from in this thing.
I'm not convinced that's you and me.
I think somebody makes all these up. One of my students once found one of the YouTube videos of apparently one of the songs where I was upset about WWE.com, and I had to explain that I'd never actually said these things. It was editing by crazed trolls on our message board.
Huh.
This was the same kid that walked in one day and just said, "Brian, what's the board?"
Life is scary in 2008.
Really is.
No one has any privacy left.
No, none. None. All right. Raw was a very good show, although there were some slow moments there at points, particularly in JBL's match, which did not need to go nearly as long as it did, but we shall skip to that soon. Santino was mad about his injured balls, and he was so mad. Talk about dwelling. This is the new MatPat 11, is Santino. He was so angry and bitter and dwelling on this that he was going to reveal to the world a great secret about Santa. And then, of course, Cena walked up and said, "No, you're not," and buried him. So Santino got mad and challenged Cena and a diva of his choice to a mixed tag later. And they did some comedy with Goldust, which was not funny, but the people still laughed. And then Santino said after he won, he was going to reveal the secret anyway. That was that.
I did laugh when Goldust, upon discovering he cannot be the tag team partner because he lacked ovaries, and his response was to say, "Rats." Then he walked away, and Dustin Rhodes put on his rubber suit and his makeup for this 10-second appearance.
Yeah.
That has to suck.
Kane and Kelly came out. Kane did a promo saying that he had been asked kindly by Stephanie to please apologize to Kelly for stalking her last week. And when you think of all the horrible things, Randy Orton didn't have to apologize to Big Dave for giving him a concussion kick and putting him out of action until August.
Nope.
Seriously now. But Kelly needed to be apologized to. And shouldn't Miz be given the apology?
That's also an excellent point.
Shouldn't Kelly have to apologize to Miz? So anyway, this was stupid. But he apologized and said someday she would regret not telling him who the real boyfriend was. So it's an ongoing mystery here. And
who's boning Kelly?
Who is fucking Kelly? Kane and HBK had a Race to the Rumble match, which was a fine little match right here. I actually expected this to be bad, and it was not. It was fine. And they did a little match, and Sean hit the super kick and got the pin. And he is now going on to the Fatal 4-Way. You see, there are four matches, and the winners are going on to a Fatal 4-Way. And then the winner of that faces Randy Orton at the pay-per-view.
Or John Cena.
Or John Cena, whoever is the champion, whatever. See, I'm confused already. But the point is, for those people that are freaking out about my not understanding this match last week, and one person has been dwelling on this for over a week, and he's actually typed out exactly what Stephanie said to prove that it's not confusing. And he doesn't realize that the confusing aspect of the promo was the fact that she never bothered to say who was involved. I felt that was a key aspect to this tournament, to name the participants. Apparently, this man didn't care. Hmm. When she said all the former champions on Raw, Kofi Kingston?
Beth
Nikki? Phoenix? What the fuck does this mean? That, in fact, is a state of confusion. So, anyway, that is the way that this is going to go. And the only other thing I have to say about this is, this was a good Raw, because there were a lot of big matches. There was a lot of good wrestling. The Jericho and Punk match, in particular, was very good. But I shouldn't complain, but I'm going to complain. It's not even really a complaint. It's just an observation. They're talking about how, man, four big matches featuring the stars on this show tonight. And a big Fatal 4-Way involving the winners next week. And I sat there and I thought, if all these matches are so big, why should I be paying for the next pay-per-view? Why is that match so much bigger? Why is that match bigger than the four matches I saw tonight and the Fatal 4-Way that I see next week? And the answer is that the title's on the line. Now, if this is how you're going to sell pay-per-views, title matches, then the entire company should be built around your titles. That is not the case here. They're the only reason, really, to buy the Royal Rumble, for example, is...
Well, there's the Royal Rumble. Yeah.
But, I mean, for your average B show, if you're wondering why these shows are diminishing in buy rates with each passing year, not tanking or anything like that, but they're certainly not doing the numbers they've done in years past, and I think this is part of the reason. Why would you need to buy Armageddon?
Oh, you wouldn't.
Why would you need to buy Survivor Series? Why would you need to buy No Mercy? The only reason you would want to buy these is if you're such a big fan that you've got to see as much WWE wrestling as you can get your hands on. There's very little reason to actually buy these shows.
Well, that's all true. Yes, the answer, Brian, as to why you should buy the Rumble at the end of all this is because all this work they're doing, you see, is to qualify for that match. Now, that argument may not sell you, but it's there. As for Shawn and Kane, this
I realize that, but the point I'm trying to make is... They're fighting for a title match, and nobody gives a shit about the title.
For a title you don't care about.
So yeah, that's the issue.
Yes, yes. As for Shawn and Kane, it was the very definition of a professional wrestling match. It was just two veteran guys who know what to do and did exactly what they had to do to get the reaction they wanted from the fans, and Shawn won, and then it was over. Completely forgettable.
Showed a video package of Orton punting Big Dave, and... Another thing here, I now nitpick everything after watching so much Impact, but the announcers are like, I hope Dave is available. I hope Dave is able to wrestle here tonight.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, so let me get this straight. The announcers in WWE are unaware if, for example, Dave is even in the building.
Right. Well, no one apparently knew about Dave's condition until right before his bell time.
And the first person to alert us that Dave was not there was the ring announcer. The ring announcer is more in the know than Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not to mention, Saturday night I watched a show on which I was told was a live show. They indicated, hey, here's Jeff Hardy, he's the WWE champion. Dave Batista wrestled on that show.
Well, oops.
And in fact, the first thing he did was lock up with Randy Orton.
Oops.
So yeah, they should have just said that was a taped show, but we'll talk about that later.
So anyway, then we had the video package of Orton punting Dave, as I'd noted. Then we had Manny versus Manu. Manny should actually be his name. Manu versus Kofi. And Manu has been wrestling since he was a young teen, in fact. And he's quite great. And Kofi has had good days, and this was not one of them. He was out of position. He was slipping on things. And then he got the pin with a crucifix. The wrong man won here.
That's for sure. Yes, this was perhaps Kofi's first off night I've ever seen, but he was off. And Manu is great, and it was very short, and Kofi won. I was just impressed that here's Manu, and I realize his gimmick is not that he's a wild Samoan, he's just the son of a wild Samoan, but here he comes with his long flowing hair and his tribal tattoos, and he's announced as from Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania.
Hell, you know.
That's awesome.
It's 2008 now. Then we had the meeting between Deuce Shade, who's apparently Sim Snuka, I believe.
I think his name was Sim, yes.
Sim. Like Sim City, or whatever that video game was from
awesome.
25 years ago.
He's constantly building roads and highways.
So Sim City here was trying to get recruited into whatever this group is called, Priceless. And Orton didn't even want to talk to Manu after his failure. And then said, well, maybe we do need a new member. And I thought to myself, why would these men want to be in this unit with such a dick? What has this got them?
He hasn't
even gotten them the tag team titles.
No, he's I don't know. So they have a respect for him for some reason. And I base that purely on the first promo where they mentioned it.
We had another DX commercial, and they prefaced it by saying that Shawn had shot them all before his financial issues.
Yeah, Michael Cole says that it was shot before Shawn fell on hard times. So I guess this was shot last spring.
Well, you got to prepare in advance.
Or did Shawn have a bad weekend and lost all his money?
May have had just a shitty weekend. Well, if it coincides with the fall of the stock market, these would have had to have been taped in September. Literally.
Yeah.
If you're going by realism here. So then we had Punk meeting with Hunter, and they are trying so damn hard to make this work, to make this make sense. And it still doesn't, but I got to give him credit for trying. Hunter's like, why didn't you come to me? And Sean's like, well, I didn't want to borrow from you. And Hunter's like, so you wouldn't borrow from me, but you'll work for JBL? And Sean's like, I know what I'm doing. I've got to do this on my own terms. And Hunter said, for your sake, I hope you know what you're doing. And then Sean muttered, me too.
Yes, there's a great performance by both men. Hunter pointed out, this is all about your stupid pride. And Sean basically said, yeah. But he asked Hunter to back off, and he said, I got myself into this mess, and I'll get myself out. And he was very concerned and forlorn at the end. And this is all very good. And I still most likely the beginning when it was just Sean and Punk, and Punk was telling Sean about his time in Iraq and shooting stuff and blowing it up and how cool it was. And Sean said, in this exact tone of voice, that sounds like a phenomenal sight. He had had enough of CM Punk at that point.
Melina and Michelle against Jillian and Layla. A disaster of a match.
I have no idea what this was.
First off, Melina and Michelle.
Melina and Mickey.
Mickey.
Way too many M's in this company.
Fuck. Melina and Mickey came out, and they did a bunch of piggybacking and hopscotching and leapfrogging.
This was their entrance for Monday Night Raw.
222s, everybody.
That's possible.
Mickey ran wild, and then Layla tossed her off the post to the floor. Now, I do not know for sure, but based on the selling of young Mickey and her weeping after the match for no discernible reason, and then the weeping of Melina, who had won the match, leads me to believe that that Mickey blew out her knee. Now, I don't like to see anybody get hurt. I especially don't like to see girls get hurt. But the amount of sympathy I have for Mickey James is rather low because why do you take a bump off the post to the floor? You are asking to get hurt.
Nothing good can happen.
I can think off the top of my head of 1,000 ways to get the heat during a match. I could just go on for 5 hours thinking of different ways to get the heat during the match. And not a single one involves jumping off the post to the floor. You're asking to blow out your knee. Not to mention the fact that her fucking tag team partner, who just returned, she just returned, like, a month ago or less, was out for an extended period of time because she fucking took a bump off the post to the floor and blew out her ankle. Why do this?
I don't know.
For Christ's sake,
I don't
stop.
Know. And it was actually even worse because she obviously came down out of control. And at first, it looked like her shoulders were not above her feet, and I thought she was going to land on her back. And thankfully, she at least managed to get her feet under her, although apparently not very well. So, they kept wrestling. And God bless Mickey. I hope she's healthy. But when she crashed and burned, her thong came out, and I was distracted for the rest of the time she was in there.
And that happened. And then Melina made a comeback, and it was horrible. And then she botched a spot to the. Usually, when you see a botched spot, you're like, I know what they were trying to do. Not in this case. No idea what they were trying to do.
She and Jillian tried something, and it failed, and they moved on.
And then they broke up a bunch of pins, like way too many. And then finally it ended when Melina pinned somebody with a code red, doesn't matter. But the point was, this was two thumbs down.
And I watched this all, and it was sloppy and out of control and dangerous. I thought, Jesus Christ, what the hell was that? And then I looked at the ring, and the two victorious women were, in fact, weeping.
Crying.
Literally crying. Tears were coming down their face. And I thought, something went awry there.
Yes. So I hope Mickey is okay, but everybody in this business, listen to me. Stop going off the post to the floor. I'm trying to think of something you could do instead that would be equally dangerous. Ride a motorcycle without a helmet on ice.
Drive in Seattle, yes.
Drive in Seattle. Get a bus and go down to Seattle.
Take a bus in Seattle, yes.
Jesus. Then we had Ray and JBL in a race to the Rumble. Match was fine, but went way too long. People chanted, you can't wrestle at JBL. Ray did a big comeback and finally set up for the 619, but Sean ran down and dragged JBL to safety, then slapped him across the face. So the ref called for the bell and ruled that JBL had won via outside interference. So now we have Sean and JBL advancing. So maybe in the match, JBL will command Sean to lay down for him. I do not know.
That's the finish I predict, actually. But yeah,
that would be lame.
Well, I'm just saying that's what I predict. It's... The best part of this was Sean, he pulled JBL out, and JBL had been getting his ass kicked, so he was kind of out of it and selling, and Sean pulls JBL out, and he looks into the ring, and he waits for the ref to look, and only when the ref is looking did he bother to slap JBL. Because, you see, if you're going to do something illegal, ordinarily you want to do it behind the ref's back, but when you're looking for a DQ, you want to make sure the ref is looking. My point is, where the ref is looking is important.
Then we had Orton come out for the match with Dave, and of course Dave was not there, which the announcers were just blindsided by. And then Orton grabbed the mic and did a promo, and I realized he had to say this. I'm nitpicking again, but I realized he had to say this, but it was just wacky when he said, I've had the same dream every night for 4 years.
Yes.
I've dreamed I've been kicking Big Dave in the head. The what? Same dream every night.
It all.
He didn't have one dream of being naked at school.
Or falling.
He didn't have one dream of falling off a cliff.
Yeah.
Seriously?
It started off fine because he pointed out it was in this very building 4 years ago. I won the world title. And the next day, Dave Batista and those dicks in Evolution kicked me out. And I'm waiting for revenge. Up to that point, it was all fine. And then he literally said, every night I have gone to bed and dreamed of kicking Dave Batista in the head.
So the night before the WrestleMania 3-way, for example.
You dreamt of kicking Dave in the head.
Wrong. I had no. My first dream of being naked in public last night.
I don't want to hear this.
But I wasn't doing anything lewd or anything. I just had no clothes on.
I see.
The point was, in 33 years, that's the first time I ever had that dream. And apparently that's like a really common dream that people have all the time. And actually, I wasn't completely nude because I had two books to cover my genitals and my ass.
Must have been some very small books.
I was walking somewhere.
Huh. Hoping not in Seattle, you'd be very cold.
I was walking somewhere. I remember, like, I had no clothes. I'm trying to remember this dream now.
This is not comfortable.
This is very important. I dreamt that, like, I was somewhere and I had no clothes, but I was, like, inside, and there was no one else inside.
Okay.
But I had to go somewhere. And I decided I was going to take my chances going there nude on foot and hope that nobody would notice that I had no clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
Failed.
Sorry, dude.
This was a dream I had, though.
I don't think I've ever had that one. The closest I've had to that, which I guess is a similar sort of vein to it, but I've had the dream.
A vein, you say? Can we move on, please?
Yes.
It's like Lance the other day talking about Jeff Hardy and saying, as long as he keeps his nose clean. Poor choice of words, both of you.
Let's move on.
So anyway, we had Punk and... Oh, no, wait. So we had...
The hell did happen next?
We had Kelly. Miz and Morrison met with her. They were very upset about what happened last week, and they said that they had heard that Cena was her boyfriend. She said, what? He merely asked me to be his partner, and I said, sure. Life partner? She didn't specify. But anyway, they said they'd heard a rumor that somebody trashed her hotel room, and she looked very sad.
Well, she did lie to Kane and get Miz killed.
Well.
So, what goes around comes around.
Punk and Jericho had a really fun match. So fun, in fact, that Craig marked out here because he sent me a text before I'd watched this, by the way. Craig never thinks that perhaps we're not watching the East Coast feed here in Seattle. Sending me a text saying, oh my God, Punk knocked out Jericho. It was, in fact, a work. But I was watching for it, and sadly it did not happen. But they had a really good match, and the finish was awesome as Punk went for a springboard. Jericho hit the code breaker in mid-move for the pin. Awesome finish. People did not like Punk. People love Jericho.
Well, to quote Michael Cole, the universe is cheering for Jericho.
The universe.
Now, you've said before that how much the term WWE universe annoys you. It never annoyed me until that moment right there. The universe is cheering for Jericho.
The universe, everybody.
No, they are not. A very small number of people in this town are cheering for Jericho.
So then we had Michaels, JBL, Jericho, and Orton. I'm not going to go into it. That's the match next week for the shot at Cena. Michaels, Jericho, JBL, and Orton. We had Kelly storming out of the building saying she talked to Cena and he understood, but she had to go! Never saw her again. Then Santino came out and everybody chanted his name and he did a promo drawing our attention to a very special woman in the crowd, he said. Rosa Mendez, who is Milena Ruka, formerly of Florida Championship Wrestling, and now is a character who apparently travels to every WWE event nationally or internationally.
Sure.
She's got to have money.
Yeah.
So that should play into the storyline. So anyway.
She can give Sean a job.
Why not? Maybe she's working for JBL. He married Canada and was about to tell the Santa secret when Cena's music interrupted, said Santa was already there. He granted his wish, which was a tag team partner, who did end up being, in fact, Trish Stratus.
Holy crap!
She's returned after several years for a one-off.
I'm assuming, yeah, she did return. Saying she has returned indicates she will stick around, which I don't think is going to happen.
Looked great. Did a fine job, all things considered. Very basic match. Sold for a while. Made Santino look like a fool. Cena got the hot tag. Ran wild, hit the FU, got the pin, everybody was happy, Raw cut out, so if I missed a big post-match angle, oh well, But that was a show, everybody.
Yes, the match was
so thumbs up.
Match was really very short, and it was very simple. It was all just a point to A, get Trish out there, B, have her hit all her spots, the Matrix move, the handstand Rana, the chick kick, and then get the hell out of there, basically. And that was all it did, and it worked. And yes, Santino did not pin John Cena, so that was an okay episode of Raw.
Oh, I should play a little song here, and then we will move on, everyone. CM Punk just fucking sucks. CM Punk just fucking sucks. CM Punk just fucking sucks. CM Punk
editing, everyone.
Sucks. CM Punk just fucking 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 sucks.
He's pretty overrated. What is going on?
Pretty cool guitar there.
Of that.
Not fan.
That was not a success.
We've played better ones.
Well, let's play a better one here. This is always a classic. This could become a drop with me playing the role of James Rome. I don't care. This is a man's world. Yes. This is a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing. Nothing. Without a woman or a girl. Indeed. You see, man made the cars to take us over the road. Man made the trains to carry heavy load. What a pig. Man made electric light to take us out of the dark. And electrolytes. Man made the boat for the water. Like Noah made the ark. This is a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing. Nothing without a woman. Indeed!
That drop is long.
I wrote a poem today.
Did you?
Not going to read it here on the air.
Is it a limerick? A sonnet?
The poem is called Fuck You, Snow.
You're not going to read this in the air?
No.
Are you going to share it with anyone?
Well, it's on the board right now.
I see.
If you go to the Yes We Can forum on the board, which is where I'm campaigning for King of the Board, and you scroll down to Fuck You Snow in all caps, you can in fact read my poetry. I think I did a fine job, and I think that I should win votes for this poem. All right. Thoughts about the Tribute to the Troops show.
It was a very good show. I was left thinking that it ended, I was like, that's it? And I didn't realize until later that this show used to be 2 hours, and this was only one. And I think, unlike almost every other wrestling show on Earth, this one was hurt by being only an hour.
This was a one-hour show, and it had two matches, so it was not very long. It was there's not really much to talk about here. I mean, it was what they always do for Tribute to the Troops. They went to Iraq. They talked to a bunch of troops. The troops all looked like they were having a great time. The wrestlers all looked like they were having a great time. The wrestlers had a spring in their step when they wrestled their matches. And not a whole lot happened in the ring, really. It was acceptable, but the matches were Hardy, Killings, and Punk against JBL, Miz, and Morrison. Which, of course, the good guys won. The only thing really to mention here is that Jeff gave JBL a Twist of Fate, and you've never seen a man take a worse bump for the Twist of Fate. And then JBL paid for it as Jeff went for a senton and broke all his ribs in one fell swoop.
He landed like in a, I believe it's like a pike position when divers bend at the waist as far as they can, and he landed like that with his ass on JBL's sternum. Bad times.
Too bad for you, buddy.
Very, very bad times. The only other thing worth mentioning is that the announcers here were tremendous in recognizing that, in theory, there would be a lot of people watching this show who didn't know who these characters were. And
really? I hated this.
Really?
I hated this, and I'll tell you why.
All right.
Because if you've ever looked at the ratings for this show, there aren't any new viewers.
No.
Never. This show does less viewers than Raw, and this show does less viewers than SmackDown on NBC. Now, after knowing that for a number of years, I would just go in there thinking that why bother trying to alert the 0% of people that are tuning in for the first time? And, I mean, quite frankly, you're alienating all the people that regularly watch the shows. I mean, it was like they had a script they were reading from where every single character had to be, every character, their character had to be explained to people. This is JBL. He's really rich and he's a dick. And I'm sitting there thinking, no shit, I watch the show every week. And meanwhile, nobody was watching this for the first time. So I thought that was retarded.
I will refer back to an argument you made about a month ago about a TNA pay-per-view where I believe the argument went along the lines of everyone knew no one would buy the show, so why bother trying to promote it? The answer, do you recall
this?
Wait
a second.
Do you remember that?
This is completely different.
How so?
Because you've got 1.5 million viewers, or whatever the number is, watching Impact.
Okay.
You've got a pay-per-view coming up.
Right.
All right. Their theory, not mine, their theory was that nobody is going to buy this pay-per-view, so let's not bother hyping it up. Let's not bother trying to sell the pay-per-view. And my argument was, why would you do that? You're assuming that nobody is going to buy this pay-per-view. But why not try to make some money off of it? There's a money thing here.
Okay.
If the show, if you could have less people buy the show, let's say that normally 25,000 people buy the show. It's December. It's a financially tough time for a lot of people. All right. Maybe only 18,000 people are going to buy the show. Wouldn't you want to get those 18,000 instead of just settling for 5 because you're building up the next pay-per-view?
Yes.
It made no difference. It made absolutely no difference whatsoever if they explained this to your casual fan.
I still say that it was better to try.
Well, then we shall disagree.
Fine.
And in these cases, I am always right.
I know.
So, we had a bunch of wacky videos. We had the Divas being called out to kiss troops, which sounds like cock teasing to me, and I would be very upset if I were in the military.
I can see your point, but they did show Kelly Kelly kissing a young soldier who was quite happy with this. And all I could think was, I flew back from St. Louis with a young soldier who was getting a Christmas break from basic training, and he talked about how his recruiter, he had poor words for his recruiter. And I suspect many soldiers have poor words for their recruiter. And all I could think was, you show Kelly Kelly kissing these soldiers, that's the best recruitment video you could ever have.
Well, perhaps. Those soldiers could know that if they enlist in the Marines and go to a war zone, over the period of a year, they may get kissed on one day.
By Kelly Kelly.
Hell of a job.
The important thing in there is by Kelly Kelly.
Okay, yes, but you're also still looking at one day out of a year and one guy out of all of them that went to this event.
His odds are better than mine.
My buddy Rob is in the Navy, and he actually was at Tribute to the Troops a couple of years back. He did not get kissed by Kelly.
It's not a guarantee. It's a chance.
I'm gonna have Rob stretch you.
That
for
would
insinuating
be a guarantee.
This could have happened. Batista, Cena, and Mysterio versus Orton, Big Show, and Chris Jericho, which was there was one great moment in this match. It was your average match.
I think I know what you're gonna say.
Not all that much. Jericho's in there with Ray, and Ray's running wild on him, and he's doing a baseball slide between the legs and that sort of thing. And as he's running wild like a little whipperoo or whatever.
What?
What are those birds? The whippoorwill? Was like a whippoorwill. Anyway,
all right.
He got grabbed and headbutted by Big Show, and Big Show proceeded to scream at Chris Jericho, yelling at him for allowing this young man to get such offense. And Jericho screams, but he's fast!
He's fast, he said.
And Big Show says, he's not fast, you're slow! And it's led to a fight. There was a shoving match. Big Show shoved down Jericho and bailed on him. And now, normally in TNA, for example, I would rant about the fact that it was now 3-on-2 advantage babyfaces, but they're in a war zone. Come on, you win at all costs. So I was fine with this. And the babyfaces won.
I see.
And that was the end of that.
I think a better answer would be they immediately ended the match after this 3-on-2 babyface advantage. They do this once in a while where the babyfaces get the numbers in WWE, but it always leads immediately to the finish. You don't see them get the heat on anyone. And I was sitting there trying to figure out, what was the point of that? Why do they have Big Show leave? Why couldn't they just have him get pinned or have someone else get pinned? And then he realized the finish was Ray hitting a 619 on two guys, and they both got powerbombed and or FU'd, and I don't think they felt like powerbombing or FU'ing Big Show, so they just got him out of the way. But that was fine, and that was really the entire show. The only thing mentioned is there was, well, the segment where the girls came out to kiss all the troops, they were preceded by Santa Crime Time, and Crime Time came out, and these troops had absolutely no idea what to make of these men. They just sat there and stared agape at what they were witnessing, and then the girls came out, and they stared agape and then screamed, and it was all fine.
So there you go, everybody. That was Tribute to the Troops. That, of course, leads us to our next song here, and then we will, of course, finish up with SmackDown. What is this? Boss Fight?
Wade Keller's a dork.
This must be discussed in great detail, great length.
Yes, actually, that's very accurate.
I want to talk more about the big fight coming up. Wade Keller, I will just beat you. Mm-hmm. I will beat you as hard as I possibly can. If the bone ain't sticking out, if there ain't no balls and shit like that, you'll end up being pantsed or something completely humiliating.
What is happening?
And then wrap myself in barbed wire and have you light me on fire.
PWTorch.com, everyone.
I will impale Wade on a fucking a post outside of Buddy's immediate area there. This may become a stickball game, which you'll be left out of and then beaten with a stick. You're like that fucking weird kid next door.
Every time it comes up, I try to think about something else. It's
Wade Keller, good hearty fuck off.
You've had that one pinned up for a while.
Unacceptable.
Someone's trying to start trouble.
And of course, you can send questions in via email at brian@wrestlingobserver.com. That's Brian with a
Why?
At wrestlingobserver.com.
Yeah. Now that's comedy.
Wrestling Observer Live.
Can't believe it took us like 2 years for someone to make that drop.
Wrestling Observer Live is on Sirius Satellite Radio, and this is the quality of the show. This is the sound quality.
And of course, you can send questions in via email at brian@wrestlingobserver.com. That's Brian with a
Why?
At wrestlingobserver.com.
It's funny because you're so passionate about that letter Y. It's not an I, you fuckers. It's a Y.
You know, it would be really easy for Tony to just make a Brian with an I at wrestlingobserver.com email, but come on now. That wouldn't be no fun. All right. A SmackDown here very quickly. And by the way, I know I plugged my poem that I wrote earlier, which I believe is going to win a Pulitzer Prize this year. And you can't hear that poem unless you sign up. This is a free show, and so there's nothing but freeloaders listening to it. And if you're a freeloader that loves this show, you are about to miss our annual Christmas show, which is the most beloved show of the year for some reason. And one of these years, it's just going to fall off a cliff. Because the expectations have been set so high. And
2 years ago, it was very bad.
There's going to need to be a correction, like the market.
Right.
It's going to happen with the... And it could be this year, for all I know. Except, I don't think it will be, because Mexican Seafood, one of the folks on our board, said he was going to send me a gift. And it was going to show up on UPS on such and such a date. And I got a knock on my door, and I opened the door, and there was a UPS woman there, nude. I'm making that up. But she was standing there, covered in snow. She had a box, and she handed it to me, and she goes, "You're waiting for six more? Or five more? Five more. Six more." She goes, "You're waiting for six more." And I said, "What?" She goes, "You got six more in the truck." I said, "I do?" She goes, "Do you?" I said, "I don't know. I don't know what this is." So she put the first box down. She goes to the truck, and you could tell that they were so unhappy because it was just snowing like a motherfucker. And she stacks six additional boxes up onto this deal, and she wheels them to my front door. Now, when you walked in, Vinny, there are six giant boxes.
Yeah, these are not small boxes either.
No.
I thought I walked in, And as usual, you don't explain anything when I walk in, so I'm left to my own imagination. I thought you were building a fort.
I may have been building a fort. I may build a fort with what's in there. But when I looked at the boxes, I don't know what's in them. I have no earthly idea. I know that there's 7 boxes, I believe. And I looked at them, and they're all different sizes. There are 4 that are about the same size. There's a bigger one, and then there's one that's a little bit smaller. And I sat there, and I thought, there better not be a body here.
One body in 6 boxes?
No, there's a torso, two arms, two legs, and a head.
How it would work if they wanted to do such a horrible thing.
6 boxes.
Which we do not endorse. I want to make that clear.
So anyway, I'm very concerned about opening that present, and I don't know if you've walked by my car, but there are presents all the way up to the top of the car that I'm going to have to bring in tomorrow. We have more presents for this year's Christmas show than we've ever had before.
Wow. I have some too, but we'll get through those quickly.
And I have not even gone to the post office because it's been snowing for a week. So God knows how many... It may just be all opening presents for the Christmas show.
And drinking.
And drinking, of course. So.
That's mandatory.
But anyway, if you're listening right now and you're a freeloader, you can't hear that show unless you sign up. So get your ass in gear and sign up, and then you can have all the rest of the fun as well. All the other radio shows, all the newsletters, all the good stuff that we have here at the website. If you love this show, this is the website for you and the board. You will also have a chance to vote me in as king of the board, which is my goal here, along with 4,999 friends on Facebook. So anyway, SmackDown. Jeff came out to celebrate the title. It was a great little celebration. They had balloons. They had confetti. They had pyro. I was hoping the confetti did not catch fire. He did a promo talking about all of this and that and told people to go crazy. And anyway, Edge finally came down and talked about how he'd been cheated out of the title and this and that. And Edge called him a liar and accused him of attacking him in the stairwell or whatever the case might be. And anyway, he said he never needed to do that because he'd always outperformed Jeff in everything he'd done. He announced that Vicky had signed Jeff versus Kozlov and Matt versus Edge. Not sure why she didn't just sign Jeff versus Edge for the title, but I guess we're not supposed to think about that sort of stuff. So anyway, Jeff ended up giving a twist of fate, and that was that.
We argued after the pay-per-view about his about Jeff's post-match celebration. You thought it was great. I thought it was... Less than what it could have been.
Well, you also missed it when they went off the air. They celebrated for 20 additional minutes in the building.
That would have helped. But regardless, this was how it's done. This party ruled. And I don't remember. I don't remember the last time they had a giant party like this that just went on. The announcers were silent. It was just people cheering and pyro going off and confetti flying through the air and Jeff's music playing. And it went for like 5 minutes and his song ended and it started up again and the party kept going. And it was great. And it was it established... Yeah, plant a big flag in the ground saying, this is Jeff's time. This is an important deal. This is not your average title change for a company that, you know, there was 18 title changes last year or whatever it was. They tried to make this seem like a really, really big deal, and that's good. And then Edge came out, and Edge was always awesome. And, yes, if you don't think about the strange booking, I don't know why she wouldn't either book an immediate rematch or just book, say, Jeff versus Edge and Kozlov so at least they can beat the hell out of him. But whatever. If you don't pay attention to that, it was all fine. And it left with Edge taking the twist of fate, and Jeff still left triumphant. So this was many, many thumbs up.
They are still teasing problems with Vicky and Chavo. We had Truth and Helms against Shelton and MVP, which had good heat. They announced Helms and Shelton for the title next week, and then they had Helms pin him yet again, so I don't know why they didn't mention it after the match, but I guess it doesn't matter. But anyway, it was fine.
It was a fine little TV match. I was watching this, and it occurred to me that the Carolinians have taken over this company. This company used to be run by Canadians and then Texans for a while, and now it's everyone from the Carolinas. You have the Hardys, you have Shelton, you have Helms, you have Truth. Ric Flair, if he ever comes back, that's the new home of wrestling.
Morrison and Festus, they showed a bunch of photos from the Hamilton tag title change, the house show. And I think Ross and Taz were the first people to actually mention that if you go to a house show, you could see something happen. So way to go, guys.
Jim Ross is good at his job, it turns out.
Anyway, we had Morrison doing a pretty good job with him, and the bell ringing is getting old, but the finish was awesome, and that was Jesse was holding onto the bell so that the bad guys couldn't ring it, and he ended up trying to whack somebody, I think Miz, with the bell outside the ring. Miz ducked, the ring bell hit the ring post, and thus rang, And then Morrison hit the Moonlight Drive on Festus and pinned him. That was that. Your trivia fact of the day, as noted in today's daily update at WrestlingObserver.com. Festus just turned 24, if you can believe that.
That is terrifying.
Which I cannot, but there you go.
I saw him a year or two ago in Deep South Wrestling. He looked exactly the same. He was just born that way. I think Miz and Morrison, you could make a strong case. These two men are the biggest stars in the entire company because they're on every show. I expect to see them on Raw and ECW and SmackDown and, in fact, to be for the troops. So
maybe WWE superstars.
I'm fine with this, by the way. I just think it's kind of strange that they're the ones who are on every show. But they're that you could do a lot worse. And they had a fine little match here. And the maybe the very last thing they can do with Festus and the stupid bell has been done now.
Eve interviewed Matt Hardy. I don't know if Eve is just so hot that Matt was flustered, but he was very wooden in this promo. And he just basically said that...
He said wooden.
He was wooden. May have been wooden. But anyway, what is up with you, you pervert? You've been just talking about cocks all night.
I was drinking earlier.
Oh, so it comes out.
Yeah.
It comes out. Now you all know. Now you all know the true story of Vince's sexual orientation that comes out when he drinks. He is a closet homosexual.
Now.
Edge versus Matt. They had a fun match, as they always do, and traded some near falls. Side effect that everyone thought was a finish, of course. Finally, Edge missed a charge, avoided the twist of fate, hit the spear, pinned him clean. Does he get an ECW title shot now? I would guess not.
No.
Does he get a world title shot? Perhaps.
Probably at some point.
I don't know.
But the match is fun. Edge and Matt is always fun because there's, A, because there's so much history, and B, they're just both really good. But there was the pre-commercial bit, as always, ended with the babyface running wild, and Edge got tossed outside, and he was flustered and looking around and kicking the dashboards, and they cut to Matt inside the ring, and he pointed at Edge and laughed. And that's good times right there. And then it came back, and it was a very simple match, so simple that at times Edge, he caught up a comeback by using an arm drag. So, again, the key to being a great wrestler is not having a bunch of cool moves. It's just doing very simple stuff at the right time.
Ezekiel and Carlito had a match to further the feud. Of course, Ezekiel won. Clonked him in midair as he went for something. Carlito was trying to springboard back elbow, which is always so slow. I don't know why he does that move. It looks horrible, but he went to do it. It was slow. He got hit in midair. Ezekiel hit his Uranage for the pin, and that was that.
There was interference at some point with Kendrick trying to get involved, and it did not lead to the finish, and they just kept going, and then Zeke won anyway, which makes you ask, why the interference? So this is a nothing segment.
Michelle came out in a pair of very, very, very tight black leather pants and these thigh-high, high-heel boots and went to slap hands with some ringsiders, all of whom were young boys. And one young fellow decided he didn't want to slap her hand. He wanted to slap her ass. And he did all he could to cop a feel. This kid was maybe 10.
Yes.
And well,
if he'd been 12, he'd have gotten her.
Kids grow up fast nowadays. So anyway, they had Maria and Maurice in a number one contenders match, and boy, I don't know. I don't know what to say about this, except it was quite awkward, and Maurice DDT'd her for the pin. She remains my favorite wrestler in the world. I am so happy she did not actually go to TNA to be a part of the Beautiful People. She would be involved in the Sarah Palin angle with Cute Kip now, and I would kill myself.
That's true, yes.
Thank God she stayed here on SmackDown to just be... whatever she is.
To just be Maurice.
That's the only way you can explain it. She's just Maurice.
I will note that she feeds a comeback better than Shelton Benjamin.
That's undoubtedly true. He has been horrible lately. Kennedy did a deal with MVP, plugged his movie, blah, blah, blah. Said Batista had a severe concussion. They introduced footage of the Kali kiss cam at the pay-per-view with Mae Young. This was the moment that I fell in love with Eve. When she introduced this footage, you've never seen a girl so happy. And my heart melted. And then Kali was there, and Ron Jean said that he had a giant heart. It had been pierced by the lovely arrow of Mae Young, and the kiss sent tingles down his spine. And then Eve, he said, was now a close second. And she responded, okay then! And that was the end of the segment. I loved this.
It was very wacky. Kali sold this, by the way. It's not like he didn't understand what Ron Jean was saying, because he clasped his hands together and looked up in the sky like a schoolgirl. Yes, the great Kali acting like a schoolgirl.
Jeff Hardy and Kozlov was fine. Did some stuff. Jeff hit the whisper in the wind, and Edge hit the ring for the DQ, which the people hated. Double-teamed Jeff until Hunter made the save. So hopefully slowly. That sets up Jeff and Hunter versus Kozlov and Edge, I would guess. And then Hunter started beating up Kozlov, which was so bad. Kozlov got sent into the post, and I can't even explain how he sold it. He walked into it and just like did a full, like on his feet, he just spun in a full circle. That was how he sold running into the post.
And then it's dropped to his ass.
This set new standards.
Yes, there's a very simple key to having acceptable action with Kozlov, and it was demonstrated here. Jeff had an acceptable match with Kozlov because all he did was sell. Kozlov took over immediately. Jeff never hit any of his big moves. He got beat up the entire time. Bad for a new champion, good for an entertaining segment with Kozlov. And then, as noted, Hunter had to hit Kozlov, and Kozlov had to sell, and that was no buys. For a first match for a new champion, I thought this could have been a lot more, because as noted, it was just Jeff getting beat up the entire time, and then right when he made the first little hint of a comeback, Edge ran in for the immediate DQ. So Hardy didn't even get a chance to really run wild. So, at that point, they show Hunter slowly striding backstage. He is not in any hurry. Looks like he means business, but that business does not need to be handled right this second. So he's striding around, his music plays, and he finally comes down to save his little buddy Jeff. And he takes care of business, he beats up Kozlov, he gets the hammer, he chases him backstage, and the whole focus of the show is now on Hunter. And then at the end, as like a, oh yeah, he's the new champ moment, Jeff hit Edge with the senton and played his music. Wow.
Well, there you go, everybody. That's going to, I guess, set up. Actually, I've got the SmackDown spoilers right here, so let's see if it's set it up. Let's see. No, it did not.
What did it set up? Maybe they'll do that at the Rumble.
Triple H and Chavo and Jeff Hardy and Big Show. Don't ask me. I don't write this stuff. So anyway, that's sad. The spoilers are up on the front page of the website if you want to check those out as well. Let's play one more song right here, and then we will do some shout-outs and wrap this baby up.
Boogie Woogie Man vibe. A lot of threats, a lot of words from Tully Blanchard Enterprises has been directed towards this man, towards this man.
Today I have never been dropped from my wig. How hotter than I have by Dink Dylan on the concrete floor, baby. Push it to Boogie Man, baby. Wide open, open, wide open. My brothers and sisters, all my people. My brothers and sisters, in the streets, in the alleys, in the joints, wherever you are. All my people. My brothers and sisters, you know Boogeyman's with ya. You know Boogeyman's with ya. My blood, Dusty Rhodes. My blood, Dusty Rhodes. The American dream. The American dream. You know Boogeyman's with ya. You know Boogeyman's with ya. We're tight, Jack. Everybody knows. We're tight, Jack. Everybody knows. I don't have to prove it. The Dustmen don't have to prove it. They thought by getting to the Boogeyman, Boogeyman, they're gonna get to the Dustman. Boogie Woogie Man, Boogie Woogie Man. Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah!
You made a Boogie Woogie Man vibe.
Was everybody a better promo than these geeks nowadays?
It must have been hard work to be the Boogie Woogie Man. I don't think I appreciated it when I was actually watching him when I was a kid.
Now you know why he was so skinny.
Yeah.
All right, let's read some shout-outs here. Of course, if you sign up, everybody, we've been harping on you to sign up. Sign up, goddammit. If you do, you get a free shout-out. And you're missing out on a lot of fun if you don't, and it's Christmas time, everybody. It's Christmas time. Now is the time to sign up. And in fact, I'll put the special up on the front page again tonight. If you sign up, if you are a member of this website, and you sign up a friend, and you can't be a recurring subscriber, you have to be on a one-time payment, sign up a friend who's never been a subscriber before, and we'll give you a free month. So if you got 12 people you want to buy subscriptions for, if you buy a three-month or longer subscription, we will give you a month for everyone. I forget the exact deal. Just go to the front page. Just sign up, everybody. It's $10, for Christ's sake. Get yourself a Christmas present. Get a friend a Christmas present. Anyway, let's read some of these shout-outs. Lucky Z. You get a shout-out if you sign up, by the way. Did I mention that?
I don't remember.
Well, you do. If you sign up, you get to send me a free shout-out, and I'll read it here on the air. 150 words max. Some people have forgotten that, but what can you do? I would just like to start out by saying, after much deliberation, I decided to subscribe to F4W over Wrestling Observer a month before the merger. I did this because I like the Brian and Vinny show. Dave is a great writer, but not great at radio. No offense to Dave, just props to Vinny.
Fuck yeah.
Come on now. Now, questions. Who do you think is the best wrestler in the Northwest? You made mention of Aaron Bolo in a recent show. Do you think Bolo could ever get into WWE, TNA, or even ROH?
Bolo has been on SmackDown.
He has been on SmackDown.
There's your answer.
He was on SmackDown, in fact, getting killed by the Great Khali. He was smart enough to just leave the ring,
yes,
in fact.
One of three men, and he was one of the two men who did not get killed.
Have you heard of, and if so, what do you think of DOA Wrestling from Portland, Oregon? Never heard of it.
There's 1,000 wrestling groups in Oregon. They are one of them, I guess.
Who is the best lucha-style wrestler in the Northwest, and where can I see some good lucha libre in the Northwest live? Well, you'll have to wait for a group to come up here from somewhere else, most likely.
A year or two ago, there was a show, a lucha show up here with Conan, who actually did very little, but Los Chivas were in the main event, and they were awesome.
The problem is that I know more about wrestling in Japan than I do about wrestling in the Northwest, so think about that, everybody. And finally, have we just stopped looking for Perry Saturn? No! Read the Observer, in fact. There's a Perry Saturn update every single week, in fact. So there you go. This is from Crazy E-Man. Oh, Crazy E-Man. Guess it's time for my free shout-out. Want to send a shout-out to Dumbass, who gives me enough headaches that I should probably invest in Tylenol. A shout-out to Hop, for always giving me a funny story to tell. A shout-out to Lord Washko, just because he'd want his message announced to the world. Well, what's the message? It's not listed here.
Maybe it's just that his name is Lord Washko.
Lord Washko is going to be very upset that you had the opportunity to spread his word around the world, and then you forgot his word.
I can only imagine the punishment Lord Washko will bring down upon you.
A shout-out to Odge, Midget, Hop's Granny, Danny, Tanya, Rhiannon, Ron, the fine people at Turkey Hill who don't mind my rambling 3 o'clock a.m. phone calls to the Brian and Vinny show. Turkey Hill caller! We haven't had him on in a while. Shout out to the official WrestleCrap forums for keeping me laughing with the Photoshop threads, and specifically to Ernest Goes to War Games. Someone needs to bring that to our board.
That is a tremendous name.
And finally, a shout out to Mom, who's looking down right now, still wanting to send Shawn Michaels a scoop shovel to shovel all the shit. What?
I don't know, but that sounded sad, so I will say that's too bad.
Thanks and Merry Christmas, Crazy E-Man.
That sounded like something a Crazy E-Man would send, actually, from the beginning to the end.
You need to call back into the show and inform us about what the hell you're talking about here.
I do remember the Turkey Hill caller, because we thought there would be a specific hill named for its population of turkeys.
And I want to know Lord Washko and what his message is, so call in and let us know. That's all the shout-outs. And what an eclectic group of shout-outs they were, if that's the proper term to use. So we're going to wrap this baby up today. I'll actually be back later on. We've got a bunch of figure four dailies and that sort of thing coming up, so you can all look forward to that. And we shall finish with this song right here. There's no one like you.
I can't wait for the night with you. How can you not laugh at the Great Khali?
I don't know. Bitter, jaded fucks. One more, come on.
It's super materialistic, extra-anecdotious, even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious. If you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Super materialistic, extra-anecdotious.
Bing! All right, we're out of here.
See ya.